WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Tonight, I'd like to read something that came in concerning Mike's book, Johnny Moon. This is a great little review, and I neglected to write down who sent it, so I apologize about that part. Pelichek's ability to conjure tactile memory through the experiences of a child in the early 60s is utterly profound. The prose is imaginative. The style is entertaining throughout. You'll find yourself with visceral reactions as the news unfolds, as though new. Dozens of chuckles, a number of howls, as we follow Johnny Moon through his third grade year in a parochial school, and a fantastic voyage. A must read for anyone who harbors questions about the end of the American dream. Of course, we're hoping that it's not the end forever of the American dream. We on this show are trying to make something happen, trying to come up with a new American dream. And we're glad that you're here listening to us and helping us to formulate something better for the future. And now I'm going to read something else. This is from one of our sponsors, the Spiritual UN. And this is the Spiritual UN Teachable Moment. The Spiritual UN Teachable Moment here today is in Chapter 1 of the Spiritual UN Gentle Path Manifesto. It begins with the great mandate of the Declaration of Independence, which is the lead paragraph of the document. The lead paragraph tells us the world we should be in and the world we should have by right. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The paragraph mandates that that reality is our natural reality. Anything that corrupts the existence of it must essentially be made null and void. And it tells us, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Well, the current world reality of war and terror speaks for itself. There's nothing but violence, error, and a corruption of natural reality. This means humans have deviated from the path of natural reality and are living in an illusion, a lie, an error reality. We must now make the great separation from perpetual war and terror as the Declaration of Independence mandates. This is not our natural reality. The spiritual UN is now our vehicle, the train which we must all board to get on the right track for the great separation from unnatural reality. Through the spiritual UN, we can make our world uncompromisingly natural from our rights to the very life of our planet. Let's now turn away from a bad system that is killing us all. It's common sense, said Thomas Paine. And now, I'm happy to turn this show over to my friend and co-host, Mike Palachuk, an American writer.
Hey, Chuck, how's it going? Tonight we're going to welcome back from Berkeley, old friend, poet Ava Byrd. She's got a couple new books out, and the last time we talked to her, she was on the road touring, and we'd like to hear how that's coming along. As well, we're going to welcome a new guest, Carl Olson. He is a, marijuana activist. He's been doing that kind of work for many years. He comes to us from Des Moines, Iowa. So tonight we're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada, where Len Osanek, our producer, is. And one thing that's happening, I think it's happening today in Vancouver, is that George Bush and Bill Clinton were going to be speaking there, and John Bon Cor, Splitting the Sky, and a bunch of other people were going to perhaps attempt a citizen's arrest of George Bush, and that's, we all know that that needs to be done, and I haven't really heard any news. I looked on the internet. I don't know what happened, and I thought that might have happened earlier in the day. But, and also we're coming to you from Fort Lauderdale, where Chuck is. I'm in Saginaw, Minnesota, which is near Duluth. Berkeley is where Ava is, and Des Moines, Iowa is where Carl Olson is. I think we got us a convoy. It's time again for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American-Russian novel All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. So some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty, their relatives having sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The New American Dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. That's what this is all about. There are no wrong questions. There is no hidden black military budget. There is no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero on 9/11 taken away before we could even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. Because we have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who have brought about this long 10-year war and debacle to trial and put them on TV just like OJ every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. And what we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. And part of that is becoming the quality of people who are capable of telling the truth and realizing the truth. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden. You know that they all know that, and they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They kill and continue to kill. They allow others to die and continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country, because our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission. We need to put certain people on the stand, and we need to be allowed to ask questions. You know, the ones who are supposed to ask questions in our place, they don't ask the questions. They just parrot the official line. They don't speak for the people. The troops are not protecting us. That is somebody's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, and someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face-to-face with the empire, those who have gathered in Washington, D.C., New York City, and all around the country. And you have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan based on a lie, and he knows he is lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically, and the USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. And see, there is a plane in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into that hole, and no, there's no blood, no bodies, and no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written by a Fred Flintstone wannabe with rock and chisel from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. It's like a horror movie, and the killer is still in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. But we cannot be afraid, folks. We cannot be afraid.
The New American Dream welcomes a new sponsor, the Spiritual UN. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others at www.thespiritualun.org who also want to know the answers to these questions. The Spiritual UN. Another pathway is possible. No human being is the enemy of another human being. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is good to all. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? Not Smedley Butler, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, the American founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching out for the best part of human spirit, the Spiritual UN, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideas to the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and violence. Real men don't kill. War is a crime against us all, not fit for a human world. War and poverty no more, the Spiritual UN. Join us, and together we will build that new world. www.thespiritualun.org.
And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
The program is being brought to you this week with the help of a grant from Walmart and the United States Department of Homeland Security. Remember, shoppers, Homeland Security begins with hometown security. If you see something in the parking lot or in the store, say something immediately. Report suspicious activity to—just a minute, I'll find someone. I'll be right back. Has someone helped you yet? I'll find someone. I'll be right back. Well, actually, I'm off in 2 minutes, but I'll get someone. I'll be right back, okay? If you need help, ask a Walmart employee. They'll provide assistance within 4 working days. Have you applied for one of our gift cards or store memberships? Welcome to Walmart. We're Walmart and the United States Department of Homeland Security. Thank you for shopping.
And now for your third period American history moment, things that should be but never will be mentioned in the United States junior high or high school history class. If Americans knew their real history rather than the nursery rhyme Disneyland version, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush would not be able to ride together in a golf cart down the third baseline at an American baseball game to the cheers of the crowd. Rather, they would be greeted with tomatoes, fists, and handcuffs. And that's the truth. Any talk about wackos or conspiracy theories are just smoke strings from the decoder rings of the guilty. You believe them and call the ones crazy or trying with all their hearts and souls to tell you the truth. The Bushes know it too and are just pinching themselves each morning, unable to believe that they have been able to succeed on monstrous lies for so long. Join us next week on Third Period American History Moment when we talk about naming airports and highways after good people rather than idiots and bad people. Have a good night and sleep tight.
And now we're going to welcome a guest who has been, who was one of, on our very first show and has couple times. Very pleased to speak, poet Abba Bird.
Chuck and Mike.
Hello, Abba.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Wow, we just had an earthquake in Oakland.
You did?
Yeah, it was pretty heavy. A couple of things fell off the shelves, and yeah, it was quite a trip. But you know, it's fun too. It's the earth telling us that you know, she's not going
to
take this stuff anymore.
Yeah,
I know. It just happened a couple minutes ago. So, but anyway, I'm sure we'll hear about it later.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting way to start things off, I must say. Abba, have you been on the road a bit with talking about your book and so forth?
Yes, I am. I'm doing a lot of readings. I'm getting my books in a lot of the small stores in California. And, yeah, just I'm actually also starting my own publishing company so I can publish my future books and other people's books as well. So I'm doing that. And, yeah, it's all good. I'm writing also in the midst of writing a lot of new material. And I have a couple of poems that I picked to read, and I hope I may have read them before on the show, but I know that you have new listeners all the time, so and I know as the show's growing, you probably have a new listenership too, so if somebody has already heard the poem, I apologize, and I hope there's a new freshness to it, hearing it again, and for the new people that get to hear it, I hope they enjoy it too.
Well, I know that I would enjoy hearing anything that you've written read again. So
okay.
That is a place to start.
Okay.
So, yes, please read. Tell us what you got.
Okay. This one is called. I-5. It's about the freeway, Interstate 5, that goes up and down the West Coast. And it's a little humorous one. So it goes, so it's called I-5. Balls bounce and cookies crumble. Sometimes my stomach rumbles over the food here. L.A. to the bay with views of smog and factory farms, sweeping with nuclear arms. Getting fucked on the land of the free and home of the slave laborers. Pests and pesticides along I-5 freeway swerving through prison cages. Cannibals next to cows for slaughters. Hormones and drugs for our daughters. To get fucked by their fathers, founding fathers of genocide, lies and empires. Wars and gods and oh, Jesus fucking Christ, thank God, I'm an atheist. Okay, and this one is called LAPD is Hiring, and I thought that it was perfect for the times as Occupy Wall Street is happening, and the police are acting as a police state, as the dutiful servants that they are. So this is called LAPD is Hiring, and I wrote this a couple of years ago, but it's certainly relevant now. Well, LAPD is hiring. While teachers are getting fired, but LAPD is hiring. Minorities and women, teachers are getting fired, but LAPD is hiring. And harassing minorities and women, being teachers in the streets getting fired, buried and fired at from budget cuts. The cops are firing in the streets. from tops of helicopters at the teachers, screaming fire. An emergency. Dire, a police state wired and armed in cars of violence, sweeping the free speech zones, cops blasting homeless for sleeping in the streets. White sheets from budget cuts while the cops are nuts, holding guns and batons and hired with a vengeance. A penchant for violence. Silence from the politicians, the preachers, as militant cops are hired and teachers are fired. Okay, so let me find another one for you. Okay, so this is for all the goddesses out there that are fed up with patriarchy. This is called Dr. Goddamn, Goddess Save Us. Dr. Goddamn, God damaged, ravaged by founding fathers, or so is story named. Self-appointed founding dicks tricked again and conned by God the con job. Indigenous didn't have a chance against smallpox planted in sleeping bags like a crime lab at the scene of another genocide. This time through formulas, friendly fire, food and vaccines, Monsanto the Satan, jerking off pimps and pulpits, tax-free but no free lunches for us. Whipped with a coke and a smile, choking on chemicals and chemtrails, and oh my goddess, get me out of here. Okay, let's see. How about I'll read, this is called Strip the Rights of a Corporation, and it actually all comes together at the end. It seems like it's going on these curvy trips, but it actually all kind of comes together in the end. So, strip the rights of a corporation. Erica wonders why her hair grows so fast and long and wants to be the new trend in dreadlocks and desperately wants to feel a sense of belonging. Alone but not lonely, yet longing for soulmates, she takes her cat named Dog on long walks at night and hopes to meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright. She resists fighting the shakes from the moon phases and all these marijuana flakes baking cakes with sprinkled coconut flakes, cats named baby cakes, and red eyes that see in the dark, third eyes that see in the light illuminating darkness, dorks with tacky tattoos, Mark thinks as he drinks kombucha with the good green Wiccan witch, sipping sage tea steeped, hooked up with a bitch named Brenda, who wants to stop smoking and burning bridges, but at least I use them for kindling, she thinks. Her sister's a shrink who sees a massage therapist in a trailer park. The shaman sees the light in the dark cave and suggests separating the art from the artist and gave advice about separating church and state and states emphatically strip the fucking rights of a corporation. Okay, so how about if I read my? I know I read this on your show before, but I'd like to read it again for all the new people, and also just because I think it really fits perfectly with what's going on with the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy everywhere and everything that I'm so happy is happening right now. But and again, I apologize for the redundancy, but I know with this poem. People tend to really get a lot out of it even if they hear it over and over again, and I just think it's perfect for the times. So, and I believe the New American Dream also has this up on the web, on your website too. It's called Voting is for Fools. I registered to vote, and all I got was jury duty and these endless wars. Propositions by prostitutes for votes for clowns. Wolves in suits and pimps in pursuit of an old lady's loot and a young woman's womb. I registered to vote, and all I got was a phony story about a bunch of dicks landing on a moon and a humanitarian mission. Friendly fire, tricked and poked by pricks, big pharma pimping vaccines to teens with HPV and HIV and hepatitis C vaccines for the fags to get to die getting fucked in the ass without any lube. I registered to vote, and all I got were endless rigged elections with PR stooges, psycho war criminals complicit in crimes, and a bogus facade of false hope, stage-managed charades in fraudulent conspiracy, profound procrastination, insanity, repeating same task over and over and expecting different results, with no systemic change ever. I registered to vote, and all I got was a con job by cocks and cocksuckers, dicks and hoes, congressional senatorial thugs, conspiracy gangbangs through legislation, corporate rapes, genocides, and jokes known as popes, tax-exempt, to molest. Government Hollywood scripts bursting with bullshit, squashing protests with militant military mercenaries, hypermasculine motherfuckers marketing melodrama, Cinderella stories manufactured, hallucinating a white knight rescue, brainwashed women's right to vote, fooled a bitch into yet another delusion. I registered to vote, and all I got was a tax write-off for welfare king millionaires and billionaires, Monsanto-contaminated Satan frankenfood factory farms killing organics, food shortage scares, exported infrastructure, fascism, debold machine fake vote counts with no receipt, slaughterhouse murders, tortures, more prison cages, nuclear reactor explosions, and wars that continue to rage. I registered to vote, and all I got was a Great Depression, a fraudulent recession, more rigged elections, a 9/11 fabrication, a bankster's planned home foreclosure, a crashing dollar, economic desperation, domestic isolation, and the hatred of the whole wide, wonderful world. I registered to vote, and all I got were big, lousy lies from just another dick with a tie as a noose, the suit of an evil clown, and an unspeakable tragedy. And what did you get when you registered to vote? Okay, so that was my Voting is for Fools poem that is certainly relevant as it was a few months ago.
Ava, I'm so glad that you read that again. I really love that poem.
Good. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I wondered if I should have read it again, and I'm glad I did, and I really felt like I should. And
yeah.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And how I didn't ask, but how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. Just fine.
Good.
Things are about the same. Things change rarely, but we keep on fighting, right?
How do you feel about the Occupy Wall Street movement that's happening?
Well, I think it's great. It's actually, it's getting more people involved than I expected it would, and I hope for more.
Right, right. And I mean, I think that it's way long overdue, and it's reigniting my faith in the American people that they're not just, you know, zoned out on so many different things to be zoned out on, and it's just, you know, making me feel like it's not a hopeless situation. So it makes me proud of all the people.
Indeed. Well, on that note, I think we've run out of time, but it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and we'll look forward to talking to you in another 2 or 3 months.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. I'm so glad you guys are growing, and I always look forward to Thursdays to listening to what you have, and it's always funny and always an interesting experience to listen to you and Mike.
Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you, Ava.
All right, you have a great rest of the show, and we'll be in touch soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay, bye.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust First. Some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
We are proud to be sponsored this week by the Minutemen, guarding America's borders from poor people. Our own great-grandparents were poor, and they came here from other places, huddled masses yearning to be free. We are fighting for freedom from poor people, taking aim at frightened lasses crouching by a tree. We urinate on the Statue of Liberty. We defecate on Ellis Island. We've got ours crunched tight in our cold, dead, clammy hands. In just 60 seconds, we are able to desecrate the whole idea of America. We are the Minutemen.
And this program is being brought to you in part by the Iowa Ministry of Fear. If you're not afraid, you're not trying. Look out your window. We said, look out your damn window. What you see is communists, terrorists, criminals, Mexicans, and big bees. What you see? Look, now. What you see are underwear bombers, crotch bombers, conspiracy theorists, burning backpacks, witches, and big bees. What you might also see are goldfinches, very commonly used by terrorists. Bird feeders are likely drop-off areas for terrorist stuff. Have you also seen slow drivers in your neighborhood, disguised as old ladies in white, blue, or gray hair, slouched down so low it looks like nobody's driving? Huh, terrorists. Call Walmart before it's too late. Be afraid. Be very afraid, because we're your Iowa Ministry of Fear. And we're also sponsored this evening by a grant from Warm and Fuzzy Smallpox Blankets of Muncie, Indiana, made in the USA. Good old American know-how. Smallpox Blankets. Drone airplanes, anthrax, and nuclear weapons. Bombs, bullets, spider planes, our products. Welcome to 21st century America, where our products are death, destruction, low-paying jobs, and a tossing overboard of the poor, sick, and elderly, all to support the war racket. Made in the USA. Warm and Fuzzy Smallpox Blankets of Muncie.
I'd like to now welcome our next guest, Carl Olson. Carl Olson is in Des Moines. He began his first civil case in 1983 after successfully challenging his criminal conviction for marijuana on First Amendment freedom of religion grounds. During this time, Mr. Olson became aware of the regulatory and statutory exemptions from the drug laws for the religious use of peyote by members of the Native American Church. Peyote and marijuana are classified the same way, except for the religious exemption for peyote. Mr. Olson's case went before the U.S. Supreme Court in 1990 and was rejected in the landmark ruling in Employment Division versus Smith, which was widely perceived as changing the legal standard by which religious claims are judged. In 1993, Congress enacted the Religious Freedom Restoration Act specifically to overturn the ruling in Employment Division versus Smith. In 1997, the U.S. Supreme Court held that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was unconstitutional as applied to the states. In 2000, Congress amended the act to remove those portions applied to the states. Carl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
good, good. There's more to your introduction, but I wanted to bring you on first, and maybe you could bring me up to date of how you're doing in all your court cases. What's new? What's happening right now?
Well, as I exhausted my claims for religious use of marijuana, the medical marijuana argument started to grow, and besides being my sacrament, it's also a medicine in my religion, so it's both a medicine and a sacrament. So when the medical use of marijuana started to become more widely recognized, I just jumped onto that because I'd exhausted the religious argument and couldn't go anywhere with that. And the way that these constitutional things work is if the underlying factual situations or the circumstances change, you can get the courts to reevaluate a constitutional claim later based on changed circumstances. So medical use of marijuana is a change in circumstance, and so it's only natural that I would work on that. And if I couldn't work on my religious claim, I worked on that. So I've been working on that a long time. I've had some minor successes, like we got a bill passed by the Iowa Senate 50-0 in 93, but then the House rejected it. And most recently, last year, I got the Iowa Board of Pharmacy to make a unanimous ruling that marijuana is medicine. And the state has not followed the recommendation of the Board of Pharmacy, so I currently have a lawsuit pending in the Iowa District Court, which was dismissed last week, actually. The state wants to say that accepted medical use and treatment in the United States, which is what that statute says, that the term in the United States doesn't mean anything. It's whether marijuana has medical efficacy. They translate that language, accepted medical use in the United States, as being a question of medical efficacy, and it can't possibly be, because that would only be relevant to Iowa. Iowa doesn't have the authority to decide whether something has medical use in another state. So they're taking a question of law and turning it into a question of medical efficacy when that question is a question of law. It's not. So that's what the argument is I'm preparing for the Iowa Supreme Court right now. Can they just ignore that phrase, in the United States, and act like it wasn't there, or that it actually says in Iowa?
You've been at this since 83, possibly before that.
I had criminal trials in the 70s. Yeah,
that's a long time. And it's you have to have patience to work through the court system. What motivates you?
Well, what motivates me is that the circumstances are changing rapidly, and that's if the circumstances were not changing rapidly, and medical use of marijuana was not being recognized by more and more, I wouldn't have any, I wouldn't be motivated. But because it keeps changing and more people accept that it's medical use, states are enacting laws saying it's medical, that encourages me and just tells me that, that's like a sign from heaven, I didn't cause that, but it benefits me. And so it's like, it's just like, when Moses went to Pharaoh and asked for the Israelites to be set free, Pharaoh kept saying no, and it was only the plagues on Egypt that caused him to change his mind. And even after he let the slaves go, he sent his army out after them, which met with peril and drowned in the Red Sea. So I'm just reacting to the world that God put me in and following the steps that are set out before me by the Creator, who made this plant and made it good.
There's a lot of us who might say in casual conversation that, yes, we agree marijuana should be legalized, but that actually doesn't do much. It's people like you, I would imagine, who are dealing with the details, taking time to go to court, the nuts and bolts, who are actually making this happen. And are there others like you around the country who, there must be, but others who are working like you are through the court system to make this happen for the rest of the country?
Well, I don't know anybody that's doing exactly what I'm doing, and I've certainly learned a lot about bureaucracy and federal agencies and state agencies and the whole workings of the government by doing this, that it's been a lesson in civics I really didn't get in high school. But
I
know a lot of people that are challenging the states in the court, but I don't see anybody that has a really. I don't know exactly what to say about that. Like, there was a case that just came out of Michigan a couple days ago, where a guy had been arrested for driving under the influence because he turned in, they tested him for marijuana. And the judge said, well, they have an exemption for medical use of marijuana, and they don't take those people's driver's license, so it's an equal protection violation. The state can't show any more harm from a person using it for non-medical purposes than they can for someone using it for medical purposes. So if they let them drive, they have to let people who don't use it for medicine drive. And then she said, she went on further, I haven't seen the ruling yet, so I'm just going by what the attorney claims the judge said, but apparently the judge said that the medical marijuana law in Michigan had actually nullified the classification of it as being having no medical use, and that it was no longer a scheduled substance. So I don't know if that was like, they planned to get a ruling. I would give the judge more credit in that case than anyone else, but that's the kind of thing that I'm working on, and when I see a judge make a ruling like that, it just tells me that I need to keep filing because I'm going to get that judge someday.
I imagine it costs you some money to do this, to file court cases. Can people go to a website or to an email to, if they would like to support your work?
Yeah, it's kind of a long one. It's iowamedicalmarijuana.org.
Okay, and that goes to your website. And they
and there's a PayPal donation button on there. And yeah, I've collected about $6,000 over the last 6 years or so, and I spent about $4,500 of it. And so, yeah, but other than my time and labor, I'm able to pay the court filing fees and the research. I have to pay for, copies and, I subscribe to the federal court document management system so that I can download copies of federal decisions as soon as they're made. And so, but, it's a low budget thing. I get a lot of bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you serve time way back?
Yeah, I went to prison in 1984 for an arrest. I was arrested in 1980 unloading a boat with 20 tons of marijuana, and I went to prison for a couple years for that.
Where were you at? What prisons were you in?
Well, I went through a chain. I went through, turned myself in Muscatine County, Iowa, then I went to Polk County, Iowa, then I went to Oakdale, Iowa, and then I went from there to Mount Pleasant, Iowa, and then I refused to say marijuana. They wanted me to take drug treatment and say marijuana was bad. I wouldn't do that, so they sent me to maximum security at the Fort Madison Penitentiary. And then from there, they sent me back to Polk County, then to Leavenworth, Kansas, Terre Haute, Indiana, Talladega, Alabama, and I finally ended up in Tallahassee, Florida, was where I got released from.
So you did time in penitentiaries, then federal penitentiaries?
I passed through some federal penitentiaries. I ended up in a medium security unit where I did most of my time in Tallahassee. But while they were shuffling me around, they ran me through federal maximum security.
So you've really done put in the time, and you've done your homework, and you've really been at work at this. And the drug wars. To me, the way I see the drug wars are in the 1980s, there were a lot of politicians who said they were against drugs just to get themselves elected in. And because of that, there's a lot of people who are doing heavy time for just marijuana use. And I think that is so unfair. How close are we? Are we any closer today to getting those people out, or to getting those laws overturned, than we were, say, 20 years ago?
Well, we're closer, but I can't say how close. One of the things I wanted to mention, though, was the misuse of the word war. When we, you know, we've lived with this war on drugs since President Nixon gave it that name back in the 1970s. And now we have something called a war on terror. And it gets really confusing on the War Powers Act and things like that. Like, are we at war or are we not? I mean, does, what kind of power does this give the president? I mean, we've confused these terms so badly now that nobody can actually say what the law means anymore because the terms have been abused so badly. So that's one of the biggest things I think the war on drugs has led to to coin the phrase war on terrorism, and I just see that as the legacy of this war on drugs being the Patriot Act and our military intervention all over the planet.
How are we ever going to get those people out of prison? Just to let their sentences run out, or you know, our Congress is not any. They're not a bunch of brave people.
I don't know.
I
heard there's a bill pending in the Congress to cut the. You know how they have these mandatory minimums. They were going to do a kind of an amnesty for people over a certain age that had no infractions while they were in prison, and I think that. I can't remember the last I heard there was pretty strong support for that, but I don't know. So other than that, I don't know. I mean, I can't see that we're going to get a federal decision from Congress legalizing marijuana anytime soon, although I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, they could. I just wonder how many of them actually believe that this is the right thing to do and that they just kind of support the war on drugs because they're afraid of the political fallout if they were to admit that they know it's all wrong.
I would say that's it exactly. Maybe the way it's going to happen is through your work and through just the public becoming more educated that marijuana is not, you know.
When I got this ruling, this unanimous ruling from the Iowa Board of Pharmacy that marijuana was medicine, we got three opinion polls here in Iowa that year that showed over 65% of the public in favor. And we've been getting editorials in the newspapers all over the state about legalization since then. So it's completely changed the rhetoric and the tone and the environment. And I take credit for that.
Well, good for you. And could you, our time is up, but could you give people one more time your contact information and how they can get in touch with you and maybe read further about your different court cases?
Yeah, it's iowamedicalmarijuana.org, and Iowa Medical Marijuana is all one long word. It's all just, you know, one continuous string of letters, and .org is my website, and all my contact info and all my court case, everything I've done for the past 30 years is on there.
Well, Carl, thank you for your time, and also thank you for all your work over the last 30 years. I hope you'll come back on the show. 15 minutes isn't really very much time, but it's all we have, and we just like to extend the invitation to come back again in the near future.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, Carl.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
The New American Dream welcomes a new sponsor, the Spiritual UN. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others at www.thespiritualun.org who also want to know the answers to these questions. The Spiritual UN. Another pathway is possible. No human being is the enemy of another human being. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is good to all. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? Not. Smedley Butler, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, the American founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching out for the best part of human spirit, the Spiritual UN. Carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideas to the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and violence. Real men don't kill. War is a crime against us all, not fit for a human world. War and poverty no more. The Spiritual UN. Join us, and together we will build that new world. www.thespiritualun.org
And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelacek.
This portion of our program is being sponsored by This Is Not Really Happening, a new fruity cereal from General Mills. You're in the White House and see thousands on your front lawn pushing at the barricades with their angry, empty bellies, dragging a guillotine by a long rope toward the Rose Garden. Have a big bowl of This Is Not Really Happening. It's good for you. Not overly filling, because you're going to need to be able to run.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Last week, we sat in as the local farmers gathered in the Tinker Metal Shed to listen to the plans to take over Conoposic Farms by force. The Tinker cats hid from each other in the dried rows of tracks in the lawn. Karen hurried the children through their breakfast and flicked off the television when one of the boys tried to watch the weather. The ghost of Paul Harvey preached to the choir at Marge's Cafe, and the new manager of the Kmart dribbled coffee on his fresh order chart. And in the pre-dawn light, a line of headlights turned off the Mount Liberty blacktop headed east on 310th Street. The pickup trucks kept together a chorus of bad news, like a town headed home after a losing football game. Each truck bed was heaped with khaki tarps drawn tight. Karen stood with the kids down by the mailbox, touching them all with a finger or thumb, and shooed them onto the yellow bus just as a few miles away the first of the pickup trucks turned left into the drive, past the whiteboard sign with red letters that said, Conoposic Family Farms, visitors by appointment only.
Sam Tinker, the first in line, drove his pickup across the grass to the guard shack. Eddie Zook, on the passenger side, tossed a cigarette butt into the grass. Sam pushed the eject button on the tape deck. With his elbow in the window, Sam chatted with the two watchmen, both spring graduates at Mount Liberty High, one coming on duty, the other just completing the graveyard shift. They laughed with Sam as he asked them if this is where the meeting was supposed to be. They checked the daily log as Eddie Zook got out the other side of the truck with his shotgun and automatic pistol in its holster. The lights were on in the 12 100-yard-long confinement. One pickup was parked outside each one. Music blared from somewhere. The door opened to the nearest of the long buildings, and two men emerged, dragging a dead hog by its hind legs. "What's this?" one said, after they dropped the carcass on its back on the cement slab. He began to light a cigarette. Across the lawn, they saw fingers coming toward them, with guns across their chests. Herb and Ray Tinker and six of the men headed for the office building. Ray raised his 8-pound sledge and began shattering the glass on the front door. The two guards heard the noise and asked Sam what was going on.
Somebody must have dropped a pop bottle, said Sam.
Eddie came around the front of the truck, pointed his weapon at the two men. "Stay," he said.
The Mount Liberty Middle School principal, out jogging north of town, heard a string of shotgun blasts and cursed the whole universe of hunters. Eddie Zook finished tying the white and red beach towel to the Conoposic Family Farms flagpole. He had spent the previous week preparing the wounded pig banner using red paint from the partial cans he found in Ray's shed. He hoisted it to the top of the silver pole and stepped back to salute it. Subcommandante Zook placed his hands on his hips, then a hand to his brow, then punched a clenched fist into the air. He walked away toward the brick office command center, keeping his head turned toward the towel, right side up, flapping stoutly. Eddie shook his head at the manure smell, mushy and sweet like baby poop.
Sirens blared on the highway, and a rooster crowed on some distant farm. Eddie felt the pump slide of his 12-gauge and reached his other hand over to feel the size of his muscle.
stopping at the front door of the office building. He turned around, stood on the cement patio, hung a shotgun on its strap over his back, and pulled a cigarette from its pack in his fatigue pocket. Eddie stared at the crowd forming down by the road, by the white sign where Sam Sinker stood with his shotgun, talking to the semicircle of those who had already begun to gather, invited by Karen's press release, sent just an hour ago by email. Two crows sat on the bellies of the two guards, sticking into the air, lying on the slab next to the dead hog away from the road crowd. Inside the office, a one-story, brand-new red brick structure that commanded the entry into the pig plantation, Eddie heard Herbert arguing with some of the men. The area looked like a Vietnam bush camp that Eddie had seen on television. All the farmers in fatigues, except for their yellow, green, and red seed corn caps, and carrying rifles and shotguns. Eddie wore an orange bandana around his head that he'd stolen from the sporting goods department at Kmart. Sam said it would get him shot. Some of the men were busy trying to chase and push the hogs out of one of the confinement sheds so that building could be used as a bunker. The other guys had spread out around the yard, taking up positions in the grove to the north, and formed two lines of pickups like wagon trains to the east and west. The south-facing first confinement and the office building formed the front door line of defense. The little wooden chicken shed was being used as an internment facility for the rest of the hired hands caught in the assault. Two farmers walked past Eddie, staring hard at him, because he'd killed the two redicops, young local boys that all the men knew. They thought they might not survive once the news reached the outside. Might not? The whole place would be stormed by National Guard personnel carriers. They would be strafed by fighter jets from Omaha and Sioux City. They just lobbed mortar shells inside. But the fat cops were going to screw up the plan. They had no guns, true, but how was he supposed to know that? They were cops leaning against the building, and he dropped his cigarette to the cement, crushed it with his black boots. He unsnapped the holder flap and took out his pistol. Held it up with one hand, extend his arm, aimed down the barrel at the head of Sheriff Smith, facing off with Sam Tinker.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO Halloween spooks are about average.
And that wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We hope you'll come back and listen next week, same time, same place. We'd like to thank again our sponsors, WorldNewsTrust.com and SpiritualUN.com. We hope that you'll stay tuned right here for Black Op Radio coming up next with Len Ostanek. Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.